BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
I met Ploma, I think it was year 8 or year 9. She sat down next to me and when we started talking, you know, when you just really connect with someone and you just feel that you've known them forever.
This is Chantelle. She's telling me about one of her best friends, Paloma Shemarani.
Just really connected and it's kind of the friends where you just look at each other and just start laughing and get in trouble because you're not paying attention. So we used to get separated a lot in classes.
Chatting too much.
Yeah, for chatting a lot. But for some reason, she always got to stay. I was always the one that got moved, so I used to find that a bit annoying.
Chantelle and Paloma started spending more time together, hanging out after class, going shopping, and having sleepovers. In photos Chantelle shows me, they're both smiling. Paloma has wavy hair and big brown eyes.
And we started talking about movies, specifically horror movies. And there was this one which had this really good looking guy in it. So we started talking about that. And then I invited her to my house for a sleepover because we both wanted to watch this movie. And then that was how the rest was history.
Chantelle says they became joined at the hip, but she found they didn't always share the same opinions. Paloma sometimes said things that Chantelle found unusual.
She believed that sunscreen could cause cancer. I remember her saying that to me, and then I obviously said, well, I don't think that's true. I think you should wear it, especially when she would get such bad sunburns because she was quite fair. And then I do remember sleepovers that she did have non-fluoridated toothpaste.
At the time, Chantelle would occasionally try to gently push back. But it was quite easy to just shrug these ideas off. After all, who agrees with their best friend about everything? But some ideas can become too hard to ignore.
I felt like screaming at her, you know, when you mentally want to just really argue and say, what are you doing? But I wanted her to feel loved and supported, and I wanted her to have friends. I didn't want her to feel alone.
I'm Mariana Spring, the BBC's social media investigations correspondent, and I expose the real-world consequences of disinformation, conspiracy theories, trolls, and algorithms on social media. Paloma's story is one of the most striking cases I've investigated. I first looked into her mum, Kate Shemarani, a conspiracy theory influencer during the pandemic. Then, a few months back, I was contacted by Kate's sons, who told me their sister Paloma had died from cancer after rejecting chemotherapy. Over the last few years, I've noticed how conspiracy theories about our health that were once fairly fringe now appear to be more visible. And from what I've found, some social media companies have turbocharged their spread.
Wi-Fi radiation does all kinds of bad things, including causing cancer.
You need to be aware that the side effect of chemotherapy is cancer.
The cure is worse than the disease.
What happened to Paloma reflects the consequences of anti-medicine ideas becoming more mainstream. This is Mariana in Conspiracy Land 2 for BBC Radio 4. Episode 1, The Dove and the Pigeon. Chantelle, a trainee dentist, meets me in central London after a long day at the practice. She's tall with long blonde hair. I know she's thought a lot about whether to talk to me about Paloma, but she's decided she will because she wants Paloma to be remembered for more than just what happened to her.
I was a bit of a fangirl of her, so whenever she did like cool things, I just thought it was awesome.
I didn't have the chance to meet Paloma, but as I've been investigating what happened, I feel like I've got to know her a bit, especially through talking to friends like Chantelle.
She was very creative. She was very, very into designing clothes. It was amazing. She had her own sewing machine and she would make her own clothes. So for her Cambridge interview, she had actually designed outfits and she'd modelled them, which I'm sure made her stand out.
Paloma and Chantelle stayed in touch when they both went off to different sick forms and then universities, texting, FaceTiming, and meeting up whenever they could.
we had a lot of sleepovers. We'd go to Brighton and hang out and go shopping there. I'd always spend way too much money if she was there because she was always such a bad influence for that. Very convincing that I should get specific things and I'd always buy it.
They'd go on double dates with their boyfriends as well.
I remember her relationships that she's had, especially Anza. He was an amazing boyfriend, and I remember her like absolutely gushing about him all the time.
Paloma and Anda met in their hometown of Uckfield in East Sussex. He remembers the day vividly.
I met Paloma during lockdown, and I was freshly 18. I think it was June 28th, 2020. And we were in this park.
Anda is a year younger than Paloma. He's got a mop of curly hair and blue eyes.
And then I came and sat down in the park with a crate of Strongbow dark fruits. And Paloma, the first words I ever heard Paloma say were, oh, Strongbow dark fruits, goodness. In the sort of poshest, like, Cambridge accent you can imagine. And I thought that was hilarious, if slightly pretentious, but, you know, in an endearing sort of way.
Anda tells me Paloma was funny, and he made it his mission to spend more time with her.
When my A-level results came out and I decided to sort of take a gap year, I used that as a sort of an in to get to know her a bit better.
At the time, Paloma had just finished her first year studying Portuguese and Spanish at university in Cambridge, and so Anda hatched a plan.
I got her to help me with my Cambridge application and look at my personal statement. So we went up to this pub in Uckfield, and I say I was quite, you know, stupid, shall we say. I didn't really realise it was a date, so I was a bit late. I was probably at least half an hour late. Yeah, she wasn't happy about that.
Despite a tardy start, Anda persevered. They kept texting, and soon he found another reason to spend time with Paloma. She'd been on one of her trips to Brighton and needed a lift back.
I offered to come and pick her up. I had a pack of, like, Portuguese custard tarts with me, completely by accident, by the way. I was just, like, really into them at the time. And I think that, like, impressed her a bit as well. And then we just, like, you know, I'd brought, like, a cool playlist with me and stuff. But then I didn't end up playing any of my playlists because we were just, like, chatting the whole way home.
Anda and Paloma's relationship grew from there. They'd see each other back home, and Anda visited Paloma at university.
Obviously, it's all girls college, so I stick out like a sore thumb. And then when I went out, it was strict dress code of wearing her pink dressing gown. And obviously, I have quite, like, hairy legs. So she was like, oh, it's fine because, you know, it's 2021 and this is a progressive college, so you could be a girl. And I was like, brilliant, excellent.
Chantal and Anda felt like Paloma came into her own at uni. She threw herself into the activities and societies on offer and made a host of new friends.
She could definitely sweat the small stuff sometimes and get a bit frazzled or caught up in work, but she was driven and caring and outgoing, and, you know, she organised herself like a slew of different internships, and, you know, she was a contestant for Miss Universe GB, and she ran the fashion show in Cambridge in her last year as well.
By the summer of 2023, Paloma was on the brink of adult life. She'd graduated and was looking for jobs. She decided to move home to live with her mum, Kate. But Anda was uneasy about that decision.
I was really adamant that she should move out and never look back.
Anda's hesitation was based on things that Paloma had told him about her relationship with her mum, especially the way it had been since her brothers had moved away from home.
That's when things, you know, really went sour. And she could never really reconcile that, because before that, things had been sort of good. But when she was the only one left, she just got picked on. I learned pretty quickly that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't really my place to sort of push anything like that. I just set myself in as like, I'll be there to support her and, you know, pick up the pieces when things go bad.
Chantelle was around to witness Paloma's relationship with her mum firsthand while they were growing up.
When she would speak about the situations, it was always in a place where she felt like she really wanted to be loved by her mum, more like unconditionally. She always felt that there was conditions sometimes placed on that.
Her mum, Kate Shemarani, doesn't seem to take the same view. She posts on social media about her close and positive relationship with her daughter, and I've seen messages where Paloma described how their relationship was, at times, loving. Over the summer of 2023, Anda tells me that Paloma and her mum's relationship was going through one of the difficult patches, and eventually, she moved out. But this time, it felt more permanent. She'd found a job working for a yacht company, and she moved into a flat with a housemate. For Anda, it was a huge relief.
She was thriving, you know, and as I say, the whole time that we were together, she was always, always looking forward to this.
Once Paloma had settled in, she made plans with Chantelle to celebrate.
She was so, so excited. Around Christmas time, she wanted to do a flat warming, actually. So she had told me that she set up this private, like, housewarming that we were going to do together. And she was going to cook me dinner.
So things were good for a couple of months. But in October 2023, Paloma told Anda she wasn't feeling well. He says her breathing felt funny and she had some chest pain.
She was telling me this and I said, you know, just go to the doctor. And I know she had to wait in A&E for a while. Was initially misdiagnosed as just acid reflux and they gave her some pills for that. And it helped for a bit, maybe. But not really, you know, it was probably just early placebo. It became clear that it wasn't that. She went back to hospital and I remember when she called me at 3 a.m, woke me up in bed and she was just crying and she said, there's a mass in my chest that they found on an x-ray.
The doctors advised more tests to see what it was.
We were pretty hopeful early on because they said there's lots of things it can be. It can be some sort of lesion or, you know, something else, or it could be something that's been there from birth that's, you know, not malignant. So like we were optimistic. She even named it at one point, called it Maria the Lung Mass. And like I feel like that's pretty telling of the sort of person Paloma was. She liked to put the silliness in things.
Paloma had made plans to spend Christmas with Anda's family in Sweden. They decided to go ahead and make the best of it while Paloma waited for her results.
We were there for less than 48 hours before she got a phone call one morning from a doctor that said, like, we need to see you ASAP, basically to discuss your diagnosis. And they wouldn't tell her on the phone, but they had told her that there was two departments looking at her results, which was respiratory and hematology.
Anda and Paloma rushed home, and Paloma did what lots of us might do in that situation. She phoned her mum.
Cancer was one of her biggest worries in the world.
Back in the UK, at the hospital, things moved quickly, and Paloma was told the mass on her chest was cancer, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. She also texted Chantelle.
And she said that she had been at hospital for something, but she didn't want to discuss what it was. But then I texted her and I said, look, this is not like you. You normally would tell me what's going on. I just feel really worried. I feel quite actually sick with worry. So I remember my heart just dropped and I felt a bit emotional, even the fact that I didn't know what was happening. An hour later, she told me that she had found a lump.
Anda tells me he and Paloma were both terrified. but that the nurses and doctors were reassuring. They said the prognosis was very good for this type of cancer in someone of Paloma's age with chemotherapy. I've spoken to independent doctors who agree with that.
I think there's two variants, one that's like a slow growing and one that's like a aggressive one, and she had the aggressive one. So they wanted her to start treatment immediately. And that was like, you know, they stressed that, but they said, you know, all the nurses were wonderful, and they said, you know, look, you know, people come in here, it's 6 months of treatment, and they go home healthy, you know. And if chemo doesn't take, then they have radio, which is even more effective. They just didn't want to use it because Paloma's young and it's more damaging. But they really, you know, they had an arsenal of things that they could do.
In Anders' view, Paloma was seriously considering chemotherapy, but she was worried about the side effects, like the impact it could have on her fertility and losing her hair. Nursing staff spoke to her about egg freezing and wigs.
When she was speaking to doctors and nurses, she really was taking in what they said about the chance of being cured.
But then Paloma told Anders that, for now at least, she decided not to pursue the treatment plan the hospital was recommending. Instead, she would follow alternative methods, and she was going to move back in with her mum.
She basically laid out these terms. In 6 weeks, I'm going to get another series of scans, PET CT. And if things aren't progressing, then I'll reconsider. And that was like the promise, you know.
Anda didn't find her decision very easy.
I could already feel her sort of shutting us out by this point, you know, and she was just trying to reassure us and say it's going to be fine, and I'm looking forward to seeing my cat and just relaxing at home and things like this.
Anda dropped Paloma off at home, but in the hours after they said goodbye, he started to worry. He spoke to Paloma's twin brother, Gabriel, and they decided to go and try and convince her not to stay with her mum, Kate, or Kay as she's sometimes known.
We got there at maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. He'd driven down from Sevenoaks, I think, which is like a 40-45 minute drive. We got there, he picked me up, and then we went over, and it was, yeah, maybe half one in the morning. And we knock on the door, and Kate comes to the door, you know, what are you doing here? You can't be here. Gabriel just goes inside anyway, says we need to speak to Paloma. I just wish we hadn't done it, you know, because then at least me and Paloma's trust would have been unshatterable. I think if it hadn't been for that, Kate wouldn't have been able to get between us.
Paloma's friend Chantelle says Paloma told her she found Anda and Gabriel coming round while she was asleep, distressing. Anda says he apologised to Paloma and her mum Kate for coming to their house. But after that it became more difficult to talk about treatment and to visit Paloma. Paloma was still not having chemotherapy.
I never really got to hear many of her fears, but sometimes little things would kind of slip through the cracks and I'd see it, and the way that manifested itself was her kind of telling me about the progress and waiting for my response to be reassuring almost. So she'd say things like she would be vomiting all the time, as I say, no energy, and she would kind of tell me these things, hoping that I would then respond well.
The time for a scan came and went, but as far as Anda knew, Paloma didn't have one.
From there, it was like, it was, you know, I knew that there was nothing I could do.